I'm going to read this morning. We have probably a lot of understanding about what I'm going to read here first, if you've got any, if you're anything like me since you've got older. Why must we have memory enough to recall to the tiniest detail what has happened to us and not enough to remember how many times we told it to the same person? You've heard them stories, right? Four and five times, okay. Whosoever has resigned himself to fate will find that fate accepts his resignation. What do you think about that? You give in to stuff, and he said, fate will accept your resignation. One of the hardest things to teach our children about money matters is that it does. It doesn't matter what you do with money. Very important. And the Bible speaks a lot about money. If you've learned to walk a little more sure-footedly than I, be patient with my stumbling then. And know that only as I do my best and try may I attain the goal for which we both are striving. And if through experience your soul has gained heights which I as yet in dim-lit vision see, hold out your hand and point the way, lest from its straightness I should stray and walk a mile with me. Remember that when you see people messing up. Amen? Don't be too quick to judge. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of 2 Timothy. We're moving into a new... We're still war. We're in war. We're at war. Brother Jeremy's getting ready to move into another church. He's going to be going into a new war, I promise you. There'll be things there that he's going to have to face. And let's pray for him and pray for his family about that. But war. In the book of 2 Timothy, and bear with me, I got this new Bible I'm trying to break in. My daughter brought me. It's a really, it's a nice Bible. You know, all the page, why the new Bible, the pages stick together? Sometimes I fight that thing. Whole chapters sticking together sometimes. And the book of 2 Timothy. What did I say? Chapter 2. And we're going to begin reading in verses 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to touch others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to be looking at for the next while, is enduring hardness. Enduring hardness. There's going to be times in your life it's going to be hard. And God has told us right here, enduring hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even under bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake. It's why he says we're to endure hardness. For the elect's sake. Now I don't know who the elect are, do you? God does. And that's really why we need to pray and God guide us to people. I'm for telling everybody. But God knows them that are his. And I don't want to be sitting there wasting my time talking to Jehovah's Witness that won't ever be saved. God knows if he will or not. But I'm not going to discount him. Huh? He's got a desire to know some things, or he wouldn't be, you know, studying with the Jehovah's Witnesses. So, I mean, let God, you know, let God guide you. Me and his brother were sitting there talking about having discernment. That's important. We are to pray for discernment, understanding. So, that, you know, whether you're wasting your time or not. The Holy Spirit can tell you to go on down the road. I mean, just sitting there, man, I've gotten some arguments with people and wasting night just sitting there trying to talk with them, you know. And leave there, and you walk away and you say, sorry, Lord, I didn't listen. The Holy Spirit lets you know, I told you to go, but I didn't. Kept on, thought I'd change his mind. But look here. If I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even in the bonds, but the word of God is not bound, therefore endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying that if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, this part I love. If your faith waxed thin, if you're full of doubts, notice this. He abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. You're part of his body. He knows it. He goes through some troubles. God, he ain't going to. Hey, just because you've gotten kind of flattened out and, you know, listening to your flesh, listening to the world, listening to the devil, and be like that one crowd over there. They've forgotten that they were one time cleansed from their old sins. Now they're even wondering if they're even saved or not. I want to tell you something. God knows. And he'll abide. He cannot deny himself. He'll work in your life. And we're going to look at as an example of this thing of enduring hardness. We're going to be looking at as an example. Anybody got a guess? Job. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Job. Let me tell you, if your life ain't hard today, it probably will be sometime tomorrow. If you're not in a storm today, there's one waiting for you down the road. Well, we're going to look at this fella, the name of Job, and I hope it'll be a help and encouragement. I read Job often because it encourages me. You say it encourages you? Yeah, it encourages me. It makes me realize no matter what I'm going through, maybe when I don't feel like I'm doing very well, old Job didn't think he was doing too good. Yet, it was all for one purpose. For his good and the glory of God. He said, why was the goodness and what all that stuff had happened to him? He was made better for it. There was another quote over there that I read, a little quip in there. It says, talking about a bird injured from flying too high. He might never fly that high again, he said, but he sings a lot sweeter. He sings a lot sweeter. That's the way it is sometimes in life. We might not, as we get older, we've been through some things, we might not can fly as high as we one time did. Hopefully you can sing a little sweeter, amen, because of the problems and troubles you went through. But we're going to be in reading, and Job, and we're going to read for the first three verses, and we're going to look at something here. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. He was rich. I mean, he was rich by any day's standards. You had all that today, you're rich, amen? I don't care what time you've been living in, that man was rich. He had a pile of money. But the first thing I want you to notice is the person of Job. Now, what was one of the first things we've seen about Job? He was perfect, blameless, upright. He feared God and hated, avoided, shunned evil, got away from evil. He was an upright man. He had personal righteousness. He didn't have God's righteousness, but he had personal righteousness. He tried to do right. Did he fail? Yes, oftentimes. He was a man. He wasn't perfect in that he was sinlessly perfect. He was perfect in that he was blameless. He was trying his very best not to do wrong. But he still had that fallen nature he had to contend with. And he knew about it. He knew he had that nature. You know how I know it? Because of what he did for his sons. And there was born into him 7 sons and 3 daughters. What's the second thing I see about this person? Not only was he perfect, blameless, upright, he feared God and avoided evil, he was a family man. He was a family man. He had a family. And the Bible says over here that it says right here, he's talking about, and his sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone his day, sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with him. And it was so, when the days of their feasting was gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, rose up early in the morning, offered burnt offerings according to the number of them offered. Job said, may be that my sons have sinned, cursed God in their hearts. This did Job continually. Amen. Hey, he was a family man that cared about his family. He sacrificed for his family. He looked after his family. He loved his family. So not only was a man that feared God, walked upright, blameless before God, had his own, he had a good sense of righteousness and doing what was right. He had a family, he was concerned for them, and he wanted them to have a spiritual life. He was a family man. And that's what we see about Job. So, and notice this, and also, he was a man that had great wealth. I mean, you look at the substance that he had. He had great wealth. He had much abundance in temporal things. I mean, he had a lot in this world. Man, here's the thing about it. None of those things could help him. Bible says that wealth takes the wings of an eagle. You could have it here today, and it'll all be gone tomorrow. I was out riding the other day. It was yesterday. I was going through there, and I was looking, and, you know, it had rained lately, and things was kind of pleasant, and it was starting things turning green. And I was going down through there, and I felt like the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, that could all be gone in a year. He said, I could turn this place into a desert. He said, I can send the rains until it flooded out certain areas and turn deserts into others. Don't put your confidence in the things that you see, the things that you can lay hold on. You can't put your confidence in your goodness, your uprightness. You can't put no... You can't, hey, he was trying to do right. He cared about his family. And he had abundance of wealth. But neither of those things can save him from what was coming. Notice this. Not only the person of Job, but let's look at the person of God. Look here in Job 1, verses 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. That's the kind of God he's got. Amen? See the person of God. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And look at these things we've seen here about God. Number one, he allowed Satan to appear before him in the presence of the sons of God. He allowed that. I don't know what all his reasoning is, but God allowed Satan to have an audience with him. So we see that God allowed Satan to have an audience with him. He came, and we've seen Satan appear among the sons of God. And number two, we see that God questioned Satan about his activities. See, Satan is his servant. What you been doing? Well, he knew what he'd been doing. Amen. He just wanted him to give an account of what he had been doing. He'd been doing like what we wrote. He'd been going about, seeking whom he may what? Devour. Does God know that's what he's doing? Huh? Is it by God's permission? Yes, it is it not? It's by God's permission. I'm one of those. I believe that God is sovereign in all things. He's in control. That's all that means. That's all that means. When I say he's sovereign, God is in control. He knows what's going on. I don't mean it like, you know, everything's up to fate. You know, God has laid things out and that's just the way it's going to roll. I don't mean it like that. I simply mean in every situation, God is in control. Whatever's going on in your life, whatever's going on in anybody's life, it's by God's permission. So, God questioned Satan about his activities. And he said, well, I've been going up and through. And then, God brings up the person of Job before Satan and commends him to Satan. And know what he's saying? Wait, did you ever think about getting on my servant Job? Sick him, boy. Get him. That's what he was doing. You know, I never had a fierce dog, but I used to hear, man, that you could sick them on something, they'd jump on a bear. I don't know. I've never had one, but I heard that they like that. You know what I mean? But he says to him, have you considered my servant Job? And he commends him. Talks about how good he is. Don't you think that God knew that he had put a hedge up? Don't you think God knew that Satan could rend him? I mean, that God knew that Satan could rend him asunder and tear everything he had apart? Don't you think God knew that? Of course he knew that. And he had put a hedge about him. And he had blessed him. But now God's getting ready to do something different. He's getting ready to test him. You reckon he knew how the test was going to turn out? Yeah, he knew how the test was going to turn out. Let me ask you this. Can God trust us with a test? He knows us. And we need to pray and ask God, you know, if we want to be used by God, because you see, God's getting ready to use Job in a very mighty way. You said you find comfort in reading Job. I do. Why do I get to find comfort in that? Because he went through the test. Because it was a given account. Now I can read this and think of all the people down through the ages that Job has helped and blessed because of the sufferings that he went through. And how many people can be helped and blessed in the sufferings that you go through when the test goes right? Now don't think you can lean to your own strength, because you're going to fail, and we're going to find that Job wasn't a complete success, was he? We're going to read, and we'll find that Job had some problems. But remember what we read over there? He said, you know, when we believe not, God is, amen, God abideth faithful. That's where I take comfort. Look here. Now look here. So we see now God, and the Lord turns over all his prosperity over to Satan for Job to suffer testing. That's what happened. And we know what happens, right? Huh? Boy, it comes in. But now let's look at the person of Satan. We're looking at the person of, these are the three main characters, right? God, Satan, and Job. They're the three main characters in this book. Now, the person of Satan. First off, we find him appearing before God. Do you realize that Satan has looked into the face of God? You ever thought about that? Remember a fellow by the name of Moses? He said, I want to see your face. He said, you can't look at my face and live. You want to see how powerful Satan is? How much glory God has given him? He's looked right into the face of God. He appeared into his presence with the created sons of God, the host of heaven. Walked right in there among them. He appears before God. And what does he appear for? First thing, he appears for to give an account of his activities to God in 1 Peter 5 and 8. We mentioned that. Going up and down. Being God's left hand. That wicked servant. Going about. And he gives an account to God for his activities. Number three, we see, and what does he do? He accuses God. Has he ever accused God to you? He does people all the time. Boy, God just don't care for me like he did for so-and-so. Look what he does for them. And all I do is get a bunch of trouble and problems. He does it all the time. He does it, not only does, he does it to lost men. Lost men's always finding problems with God. Well, you reckon who's telling them all that? Satan appears and he accuses God. You know what he accuses him of? Of pampering. Well, you know, the only reason he's good is because, you know, you're bribing him. What do you do to get those kids to go to church? Oh, we bribe them. We bribe them. Well, you know, what do? Get them to go to church. Well, I promise them eternal life and this, that, and the other thing, you know. He said, you bribing him? Hey, you making his life easy and pleasant? Of course. He's going to say, thank you, God, for making my life easy and prosperous. And he said, but then he does right. Opposite. Now, he's accusing God, then he turns around and he accuses Job. Reckon he ever accuses you before God? He'll accuse you to you. He'll tell you what you really are. He says right here, then he turns and he speaks and he says, speaking of Job, he says, well, I'll tell you what you do. You made a hedge about him, but you take that down. Put forth thine. Now, notice what he said. Put forth thine hand. You hear what he just said? He said, put forth thine hand. He didn't say, let me at him. He said, God, you chasten him. He said, put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. He's God's left hand. God's getting ready to touch him through his evil servant. God's getting ready to touch him. And it ain't for blessing. Remember, when troubles come, don't run off your mouth. Talk about that dirty, rotten devil doing this to me. That ain't what this book says. It says God's doing this. God takes all the claim for it in the next chapter. We're going to read it. He said, why would God do that? For his good and for God's glory. Notice this. And besides that, God don't have to explain himself. He always does right. And he never does explain to Job, far as I know. All I know he did is he pointed out to Job who he was and who Job was. And that was enough for Job. Is it enough for you? Do you believe that God always does right? I do. How about when it hurts you? Do you still believe it's the right thing? Like one fella said, why not me? Why not me? Remember what Jesus went through for you. Who was it that touched Jesus on the cross? Who was it that punished Christ? It was God. It wasn't man. Man, they ain't the one that punished Christ. They were doing wickedness. God punished him justly for the sins that was laid upon him. So why not Job? And why not either of us? But are you ready? Are you willing? We started this thing. Are you able? Endure hardness as a good soldier. He numbered the people, men that were able to go forth to war. And Job is getting ready to fight the battle of his life. And there's going to be victory through God. Enduring hardness. He accuses God of pampering Job. He accuses Job to God that he only does right because his life is pleasant and easy. So God says, have at it. And so God touches Job. And it says right here, so Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord to do his worst. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground and worshipped, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. So we see the person of Job, and we see the person of God. We see the person of Satan, and now we're looking at the test. And look what he tested him in. He was tested in his means of raising crops to feed himself and his family and his neighbors and his servants. He was tested in his means because all of the oxen are gone. No way to till the ground. No way to put in the crops. No way to get the crops out of the field. Hey, he's been tested in his ability to supply food for his family, for his servants, for himself. His means of meat and clothing, you find that in verse 16. Verse 14, for the raising of the crop. Verse 16, you'll find out there came the fire of God and burned up the sheep, and the servants consumed them. His way of making clothes, his way of having meat to eat has been destroyed. It's all gone. We find out also that his means of trade and commerce in verse 17. In verses 17, while yet there came the Chaldeans, they carried away the camels. I mean, hey man, that was the freight liners of the day, amen? Them camels, that's where you move stuff around, you know? His means of trade and commerce has been destroyed, it's gone. And then finally, 18 and 19. Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And a great wind from the wilderness smote the four corners of the house. It fell upon the young men, and they are dead. His family. Everything that he worked for. Ain't that why you work? Take care of your family? Huh? Take care of yourself? Take care of your family? They're gone. His family. Could you imagine? Think about it. I've never had to suffer loss of one of my children. I know some of y'all have. I've never had to suffer that. I've lost loved ones. But hey, to find out that every one of your children are dead. Test, ain't it? Put in a fight. Who done this? The Lord. The Lord. The Lord tested him and put this on him. But notice the man. How did he respond? He says, and Job arose. Most of us would have passed out. Man, they'd be carrying us to the hospital, amen? They'd be having to give us a bunch of nerve pills and stuff to get us to calm down. But God chose Job because he was upright, feared God. He knew what Job was going to do. And it was going to help generations of people. When trouble comes, there's the sparks off the fire going up continually. Our days become short. That's what Job, you're going to find out Job says that. My days are short and my nights are agonizing. Notice what he says right here. What it says right here. He arose. He rent his mantle. You know what that represented? His heart was torn. He was broken in grief. He rent his mantle. And then he said, he shaved his head. Well, we know what the Bible said. You know? He shaved his head. He made his head bare before God. That's his way of saying, God, I don't know what I've done. I don't know what's going on. If I've sinned, there's iniquity in me. Oh, God, I'm making myself bare to you right now. He shaved his head. And he fell down before God. Didn't run to Oprah. Huh? He didn't run to his neighbor. He didn't even call up the preacher. He fell down before God. And then he spoke. Naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. See, he had to understand that everything that he owned was not his. It was temporal. It was loaned to him. God had gave it to him. It was God's. Now, God had taken it. And then he says, and the Lord hath taken away. And he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, I want God to be pleased. I want God to be pleased with me. I don't in any way bring a reproach against God. Boy, it'd be easy to bring a reproach against God right then. He could have been running. That, I can't believe God has done this. God has done this to me. Why? Why? Why, God? It's you did this. Well, it's okay to ask why. I'm sure Job was asking why. But don't ask why like it's you, God. You're wrong. You shouldn't do this. God always does right. And if you don't prepare your mind to do that, there's going to be times you're going to be tested. And if you are a spiritual man walking with God, and the closer you get to God, you can be sure the tests are going to come. Verse 21, he speaks his heart. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's turn there right quick. We're about done. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 5. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world. It is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, wherewith thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. He ain't taking nothing out. He didn't bring nothing in. It's all God's. Don't get too attached. As I've heard many preachers say, don't drive your tent stakes down too deep. What do we see? Job speaks his heart. And when suffering comes, it's not time to quit. It's time to fight. Fight the good fight. Fight the good fight. Don't fall apart. Fall in the arms of Jesus.